Okay, good evening. We'll get started.
Good evening.
Hope everyone's doing well. Okay, so we will begin where we left off last time. It's Hashem, as I said last time, I hope to speak for, let's say, 20 minutes. Feel free to chat and send along any questions, and I'll get to the questions first at the end, and then I answer any other questions anybody has. So we said last time that there is a prohibition of benefiting from that which a goy does for us on Shabbos, even if we don't ask for it. We just simply benefit. So he does it for us without asking. He senses that we want it. He sees one of us sitting in a room and he turns on the light because he senses we want the light on. We never asked him. We never hinted to him. We never did anything like that. That is forbidden to benefit from that light. If I was not able to read in that room beforehand, I'm not allowed to now read in that room now. So that is the type of benefit, a proactive direct benefit is forbidden in and of itself to benefit from, even if we don't ask for it. The types of benefit that we are allowed to benefit from a Gentile is, number one, it was an indirect benefit. So for example, if a non-Jew turns off a light for us because they sense that we want to sleep, we that's not considered a tangible direct benefit. He's just removing something which is bothering us, right? The light is on. He's removing that impediment to allow us to sleep better. So that's the type of benefit which is permissible. Or it is too hot in the house, so he turns off the heat. Can everybody see me? I just saw a little message, my connection from the stable. Can you all see me? Yes? Okay. So let's say it's too hot in the house. So he turns off the heat because he senses that we're too hot. And in that case, he's removing that which is bothering us. In those situations, that would be permissible. That is one type of case where it's permissible. And the other case is where it's an additional benefit. So for example, if the lights are off in my house on Shabbos day, and there's light coming through the windows anyway, and I can sort of read, albeit with some difficulty, or there's light coming through another room, so I can read, I can function, and then the guy on his own goes and turns the light on for me. Now I have more light than I had before. I'm also about to benefit from that more light, even if now, because since I was able to always do it, albeit with difficulty, that's not considered a real tangible benefit that I'm getting from the Gentile, and therefore it's permissible for a person to receive that benefit. So this is very important for the next conversation, which is going to be hinting, which we're about to start. We need to understand this distinction. So as you just know, when it comes to this halacha of benefiting from that which a goy does for us, obviously we think about our normal Shabbos, you know, experience, and it's limited to in our homes where we don't have a live-in, let's say in our homes, and we go to shul, we come back home, we're not directly interacting with Gentiles, for many of us at all, on a regular Shabbos. So this last halacha would not be relevant to any of us on a regular Shabbos. So on a regular Shabbos, this halacha is not so relevant. But on a Shabbos where, let's say, a person's in a shul or a person's a member of a very, very large shul where they have a custodial staff that's there on Shabbos, and there are Gentiles in the building, or a person has a live-in, or a person's in a hotel for Shabbos, right? If a person thinks about scenarios where they encounter a Gentile on Shabbos, it's in those situations that we have to be vigilant to ensure we are aware what the Gentile is doing, because if they're doing something directly for us, we have to make sure that we're allowed to now do that added benefit as a result of what the guy did. So for example, somebody mentioned last time at the very end, I said I would mention at the beginning of today, is when it comes to a hotel. Let's say, for example, a person's at the Aguda convention. Person's at a convention and the hotel is filled with Jews, certainly more Jews than non-Jews as far as who's in the hotel for that weekend. So that becomes a real issue for the guy to turn the lights on to the conference rooms on Shabbos. Let's say early Shabbos morning, they turn on the lights because they know people are going to use the rooms. And that's a problem because it's clear they're turning the lights on for Yidden, mostly Jews in there that Shabbos. And now, by you going and reading in that room, and you couldn't read beforehand, that could be a problem. I would imagine that the organizers of such events would probably tell the staff ahead of time, do us a favor, just don't touch the lights the whole Shabbos. Keep them all on. We'll pay the extra electricity bill This way you don't get into any issues, because if you're in a hotel for Shabbos, then it's mostly Gentiles in that hotel. You don't have to worry, because when they turn on the conference room lights and now you want to go daven in that room, we assume that they have the majority in mind. The majority are Gentiles. And therefore, it's not like you're doing it for a Jew. They're doing it for a Goy. And therefore, there's no problem for you to benefit from that light. But it becomes an issue when they're doing it for a Jew, whether it's for you or whether it's for somebody else. Okay, so that's part one. Where this is relevant for all of us, these distinctions, different categories of benefit, is very important for the following. And that is, what is the halachos of hinting? When are you allowed to hint to a guy on Shabbos? We're all familiar with this concept of hinting. Oh, just hint to the guy and you could do anything. Some people think, what exactly is a hint? What constitutes a good hint? And when is hinting allowed? Is hinting always allowed? I could just say whatever I want. I could just ask a guy and it could hint for anything. It's limited to certain types of situations. And what is considered a hint? So in order to first understand how a hint works, we have to go back to the beginning of last week's shiur, to understand, remind ourselves the two issues with Amir La'aku. And we have to basically disarm each of those issues in order to allow something. So we said at the very beginning of last week, there are two main reasons behind the prohibition of Amir La'aku. In other words, what are you doing wrong when you're telling a guy to do something for you on Shabbos? You didn't do it. All you did was spoke. You spoke to a guy, cook this for me. What'd you do? I didn't do malacha. What's the problem? So there are two issues. Number one is v'daber davar. Our speech on Shabbos should not be about mundane activities. And so when I actively say, please cook this for me, please turn this light on for me, I am talking about something which is a mundane activity, and that's a violation of v'daber davar. And number two is the guy is in a certain sense acting as my messenger, acting as my shliach. Because, can everybody see me? Sorry. Yes? Still good? Okay. And number two is the guy is in a certain sense acting as my shliach, as my messenger. Because when I direct the guy to do something for me, and now they go along, they do it for me, so now it's as if I sent them to do it, and that could lead to a problem of I may come to then do it myself. And the other issues with that. So there's one issue of you're in a certain sense appointing them as your messenger. And number two is the violation of speaking about mundane work-related activities. So in order to allow some sort of communication with a Gentile that would not be a problem, we have to address both of these issues. If we can address both of these issues, then we have no problem. Okay, so let's address the first one. That's easier to address. V'daber davar. You're not allowed on Shabbos to speak about things which are you know, mundane related activities. You cannot direct someone to do something for a Jew. I can't say to a Jew on Shabbos, "It's coming Tuesday, please bring my car to the mechanic," right? Because that's a mundane malacha related activity which has nothing to do with Shabbos. However, the halacha is the moment I'm not clear in what I say, I merely hint to it, there's no problem of a daber davar. So if I were to say, for example, it would really be great, you know, I turn to a Gentile, you know, it would really be great if my lights would be off. It would really be great if my lights would be on in my dining room. I didn't directly tell him to do it. I just said, it really would be great if the lights could be on somehow, some way. I don't know, right? If I were to say that, that's not a violation of the daber davar. Because I did not actively tell him to do something which is a malacha. So the moment I do not directly ask a guy to do something, even if I hint to it and say, you know, I wonder if somehow, some way, somehow the lights in my kid's room could somehow be turned off. Any ideas? You know, right? I'm not directly telling him to do it. You actually get rid of a daber davar. That's easier to get rid of. But you still have the issue of shlichus. In a certain sense, if you say that much and then he gets the hint and he goes and he does it, you did actively communicate some sort of directive, albeit in a little bit of a hinted way, but you did communicate a directive. And because you communicated a directive, even if it wasn't a clear directive, and then he goes and he does it, there's still a problem of shlichus. He's acting then as your messenger, so that's still an issue. So the only way to also get around shlichus, halacha is when my hint does not involve or even allude to any sort of directive. There is not even an undertone of a directive. For example, if a person sticks to the facts or says a story and leaves it at that, and the Gentile gets the hint, that's permissible. So for example, the person says to a goy, the lights are on in my house. See that? Just a fact. My kids can't sleep because the lights are on in their bedroom. I did not directly say or even allude to if someone could come and turn them off. I just stuck to the facts, the story. The lights are on in my bedroom. The lights are on in the dining room. The heat is on too high. We are really cold in the house because the heat is on too low. Okay? If a person sticks to the facts like that and just tells a story, and the guy gets in and says, oh, okay, I think they're wanting me to maybe come in and turn them off, and they get it on their own and they come in, you address Vadaba Davar and you address Shlichus. They're not considered that they are acting as your agent, and you can tell a guy to do whatever you need, if you need it. You stick to the facts, you don't give a directive. So for example, if I say, you know, the air conditioning is on, I'm freezing. Right? That's okay. If the guy comes and gets the hint and comes on their own, turns off the air conditioning, no problem. Because I stuck to the facts. That's a proper hint. That's a proper remiss. And when I do that, then the guy is allowed to do many, many things for me on Shabbos. But they're still, okay, so that's a hint. That's the definition of a good hint. Okay, you're all freezing for 1 second here. Okay, I think you all froze, I froze. Okay, I don't know who froze there.
We can hear you,
moving now, thank God. Okay, so I'm gonna continue. Hopefully we're back on. Okay.
Yep.
So that's a proper hint. Okay, so now let's think about what types of cases you can do that. Can you do that for anything? The answer is no. And the limitation should be obvious based on the first part of our shir. Think about what we started off saying. If a guy does something for you, even without asking him at all, no communication whatsoever, if he does a malacha for a yid and it's a tangible benefit that results, you're not allowed to get that benefit, period. Even if there was no communication, right? If you're sitting in a dark room and the guy turns on the lights, you're not allowed to read in that room. You didn't even tell him, you didn't hint to him, you didn't do anything. He just did it completely on his own. It's still forbidden for you to benefit from that light. So of course you can't hint to him to do that. Of course you cannot hint to the guy and say, the light is off in my dining room. That for sure you can't do. Because even if you wouldn't say anything, and he would on his own just come in and sense, it's Friday night, the lights are off in their house, it's weird, they always have the lights on, I see through the window, they come in, they turn on the lights, you would not be allowed to benefit from that light. So of course you cannot indicate, communicate anything, even in a hinted, in a way which is hinted, because granted there's no Amir La'akum issue, but there's a separate issue which is part of the umbrella Isser of Amir La'akum, which is benefiting from a tangible benefit that a guy does for a Jew on Shabbos in some sort of forbidden way. So that's going to be the type of malacha, the type of scenario where a hinting will not work. Hinting will only work in one of the other two categories. Number one, it's only an added benefit. In other words, if the lights are off in your house on Shabbos day, and there's light coming through the windows already, and you can already see a little bit, enough to read or whatever you want to do, but you want it brighter. So in that case, you are allowed to now give a hint to the guy. And you're allowed to say, the lights are off in my dining room, etc. And then if he gets the hint and he comes, he turns them on, that's fine. Because there's no problem with your la'akum. There's no problem of the separate issue of benefiting from a goy because it was not a tangible benefit. or so to removing a hindrance, right? Anytime you want the light off, you want a machine off, it's always okay, right? Because that's not considered a tangible benefit. That's just removing an impediment. So if the lights are currently on and I want them off, doesn't matter when it is, Friday night, Shabbos day, whatever it is, lights are on, I want them off. I want to remove that impediment to the light so I can sleep properly. Then I could always use the hint. I can always give a remes. The lights are on in my kid's bedroom. My child has trouble sleeping because his light is on in his room. I can't even say to the guy, it's usher for me, forbidden for me on the Sabbath to turn off lights. And the light is on in my child's dining, my child's room. Can't say that much. Once you allude to the act of turning off the light, even in an indirect way, that's now already that he's acting as your shliach, as your messenger. But if you do not indicate anything towards the directive, you just stick to the facts, then it's okay. So if I say, you know, the oven is making the house very hot, you want to turn off the oven, right? That's okay. But you can't say either, let's say you want to turn off the lights. You can't say, last Shabbos, why didn't you turn off the lights? Imagine you say those words to a guy. Why didn't you come into my house 10 minutes ago and turn off the lights? It would have been great if 10 minutes ago you came into my house, turned off the lights. Oh, I'm not telling him to do it. Okay, but that's an act of shlichus because you are communicating the directive somewhere in your statements, albeit in a roundabout way. That's not a proper hint. You have to stick to the facts and stick to the story. Here's the most common mistake when it comes to hinting. Okay, you go to the guy and you say, the lights are on in my child's bedroom. He's having trouble sleeping. So the guy says to you, okay, so you want me to come turn the lights off? And what do you say? If you say, uh-huh, that's a problem. Because that yes is a directive. That yes is a directive. That's in saying, yes, come in and turn them off. That's the most common mistake that people make. Uh-oh, you're all frozen again. Hold on. You're not frozen. We'll get through this. We're almost finished. You're not frozen. Great. Baruch Hashem. Right? The most common mistake people make is when you first give the hint and the guy wants to clarify what you're saying. They say, oh, do you want me to come in and turn the light off? If you go like this, or you say yes, you can't do that. That is a direct, because that you're in essence directly alluding to them to come do the action. That word yes, that nod is usser. That's the most common mistake that people make when it comes to it. So if you go to the guy and you say, the lights are off in my dining room. It's during the day. So you're allowed to have him just give you added benefit, right? So you could hint. He says, oh, do you want me to turn them on? All you do is you say, the lights are off in my dining room. Okay, what do you want me to do? The lights are off in my dining room. Hopefully at some point he gets the hint. You cannot, you cannot do that. You cannot say yes. You cannot use sign language. You cannot use some sort of like, you can't go, you know, you can't do that. That's all the same thing. You're communicating. Maybe not be bedaber davar. I'm not actively speaking words of malacha, but he's acting as my shliach, acting as my messenger. Once I some sort of way communicate what I want him to do, you have to make sure you always stick to the facts. Don't let him or her try to push you into a directive. Don't fall for it. Just stick to the facts. Stick to the facts. Someone told me a story, a friend of mine in yeshiva told me this happened to him once, that the guy just totally played with him. He said to the guy, the light's on in my dining room, or the light's off in the kid's bedroom. And the guy says, you want me to turn it off? He says, the light's on in the kid's bedroom. Want me to turn it off? The light's on in the kid's bedroom. You want me to turn it off? Eventually he says, oh, I get it. You probably want me to come turn off the lights. Just so you know, he says, I converted 2 days ago. I just want you to know that. And the yid starts like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. He's like, I'm just kidding. I got you. Just totally, totally playing with him. the guy can do whatever he wants. You just got to make sure that you stick to the facts. If you stick to the facts, you're going to be okay if it's an indirect benefit or if it's an added benefit, but it's not allowed in a situation where you're giving a positive benefit. Okay, that is how remisa works, how hinting works. Let's now get to your questions. I'll first start with the chat and afterwards feel free to. Okay, so the first question I alluded to already, if the non-Jew then asks, so should I turn on the heat? Do you need to say no? If you say no, then it's really confusing. You don't want to say no because you just stand still. It looks weird, but I guess you could say no. You're not then directly telling them to do it. Unless we told them before Shabbos, no means yes. That's the same problem, right? But you cannot communicate in any words a way where it's clear what you want. Okay, there we go. Second point. I answered that. Okay, third. Can you warn a non-Jewish neighbor of these halachos before Shabbos so they know that if you ever approach them on Shabbos with a strange story about lights on in your kid's bedroom, he'd know you really want to come in? No, that's a problem. That's a problem because you are in essence telling him this relates to something. You know what? I want to start with this next week, this exact thing. I want to start with this next week, this exact case. There are a couple of exceptions, which takes more than a minute to explain, of when you could be a little bit more lenient in Amira La'akum when it comes to directing before Shabbos for on Shabbos or directing on Shabbos for after Shabbos. Until now, I was talking about the most common scenario where you're in a pinch, it's on Shabbos and the lights are off. Lights are on, right? Or et cetera. So now it's on Shabbos and you need them to come on Shabbos, right? But what happens if it's Wednesday and you assume that there's going to be an issue coming on Shabbos? So is it easier then? Or let's say the opposite. It's currently on Shabbos and you want the guy to do something for you on Monday. And you're afraid you're going to forget after Shabbos, so you can't tell him to do it. You can't say, can you please bring my car to the mechanic on Monday? But you can't say that much, but is there a way to do it? Where it's permissible. So there is a scenario where there is another layer to this where it's permissible. I think I want to first mention that before I address this question. But I'll do that at the beginning of next week. Any other questions related to Shabbos itself, feel free to unmute yourself if you want at this point. Okay. Hope everybody got it. Hope that was clear. Any questions, feel free to follow up. And Mirtz Hashem will continue. Next week, we'll talk about, we'll finish up this conversation, and then we'll move on to other scenarios where there are specific leniencies for Amir La'akum. For example, a person is sick, a person is ill. What does it mean to be ill? How ill do you have to be? Children, are there any special leniencies? And other situations where there are leniencies in Amir La'akum. We'll discuss that next week. Okay, have a great week, everyone. Take care.
You too. Thank you, Rabbi Amos.
Sure. Pleasure. Have a good night, everyone. Take care.